This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Pedlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's September 20th, 2017. Welcome to Bicycle Talk this week without my co-host, Fran Storch, who is down in Florida with having a little R&R with her mom, which is very, very nice. This is the show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please text or call at 860-486-9487, or you can email me directly at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you have a comment or something you would like to add on to the show, please just email me once again at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also visit me on Bicycle Talk on Facebook. And if you want to listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk, you can listen on whus.org or on iTunes. All right, very good. So we are going to move on here, and we are going to go directly to Ron's rant of the week. It is, okay, this is dead horse time. I'm going to beat the dead horse here. Here's the problem I have. Bicycles on sidewalks. I know I've talked about this before. I know it's an issue. I know that there's a lot of people who have concerns about riding on the road, so they use the sidewalk as a safe place of which to ride their bicycles. So they go there, and it is allowed in certain towns and jurisdictions, but it is not allowed in most towns and jurisdictions. So if you are someone who is riding on the sidewalk, I just want you to understand, bicycles on sidewalks, if it is allowed, pedestrian speed only, okay? So if you get on that sidewalk and you decide that you're going to be speed racer going down the sidewalk, I can't have that. That just really annoys me to no end. And that this is where I have my problem. Pedestrian speed only. So I had a discussion with someone about this recently who was just about to mow me over on my on the sidewalk when I was walking on the sidewalk with his bicycle. And he got very defensive with me and said, well, I can't ride on the road. It's dangerous to ride on the road. Now, this is, by the way, this is a university that we're broadcasting from, and we have a lot of bicycles here, and we have a lot of bicycles on sidewalks. Anyway, I had to very kindly tell him that, you know, the best thing to do then, if you're going to ride on the sidewalk, since it is legal and allowed here, then please just ride at pedestrian speed only. He said, well, if I ride at pedestrian speed only, I could walk. You're on a vehicle. If you want to drive your vehicle, you should be on the road. If you want to go faster, be on the road, and then you'll be fine. So it's just a rant. I know you've heard it before with me, because I just have a really big problem with this. So moving forward from that, I'm going to go to on a positive side. And last week's guests were from Nearac Earth Cycling Club, and they put on this like bang up gravel grinder ride. It was last Saturday, I believe. And it was from the Ashford Community Park or something. Anyway, it was really, really neat event. Started out by the park road, which is gravel, which is kind of cool. And then we went on and we hit a bunch of gravel roads. I did their 33-mile ride, probably 34 by the time I got done. And as we covered, probably about 40% of the ride was on gravel roads, which is kind of cool because we're in northeastern Connecticut. We have a lot of pavement here in Connecticut, but we also still have some wonderfully preserved gravel roads and some not so wonderfully preserved gravel roads, as we found on this ride. So anyway, big shout out to Nearac Earth Cycling Club and the fact that they put on this great gravel grinder. As we know, as of this time, it is the very first gravel grinder in the state of Connecticut. So that's a cool thing. And they had such a good time with it that I think we're going to see it again in the future. So thank you again to my friends at Nearac Earth Cycling Club. One other thing that I've got going on right now, and this may be unusual to hear me here in the studio, but for the first time in many, many, many years, I did not go to the Interbike trade show in Las Vegas. It is trade show time. Interbike is on. It is happening. It's in Las Vegas. They are going to kindly move it away from Las Vegas very soon for those of us who don't like Las Vegas. And they're going to move it to Reno instead. That's a big plus. So I guess I just kind of went to a rant here again on this one. I don't understand what my industry has up its sleeve, but they don't seem to want to keep it away from the West Coast because they think the West Coast is more important than the East Coast. Hey, how about Minneapolis? That's in the middle. How about Chicago? That's in the middle. St. Louis? That's in the middle. Let's put it in the middle so that everybody can go to the show. And anyway, that's just another thing. We're going to move forward on this one. I have a guest here today, which is really, really exciting. It's always exciting when we have a guest. My guest is Anthony Trellis, who likes to go by Tony. Is that correct?
Most of the time, yeah.
Tony. Yeah, Tony's good.
I use Anthony and Tony to figure out who I know from social media and who I've met in person. So it's a personal trick. I recommend it to anybody who has trouble determining how somebody knows your name.
Right. Well, I was always in, when I knew I was in trouble, I heard Ronald come out. But I never go by Ronald. I'm always Ron. I've always been Ron. And but boy, when my mom or my dad were mad at me, it was always Ronald. So I always took it as a negative when I heard it.
That's why I use Anthony on social media. Says that one I want less often.
Okay. Well, Tony, thank you so much for coming. We've had you on before. We've had you here with BCCO and other various things that are involved with cycling, which we absolutely love. You've even called in a few times, which is really cool. That's great. Pardon my mistaking you for a different Tony the last time, but that's just...
He's also a great Tony.
He is a great Tony, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to catch up for lunch soon downtown.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. So anyway, Tony, you got here kind of not really on your bicycle, didn't you?
Not today. I've made the trip out to Yukon Stores from Hartford by bike before. It's about 26 miles, and it's beautiful. And there's even some great spots where the road is close to vehicles. So that's my favorite spot of that ride near Stores. Today, I came out on the CT Transit Route 913 that just opened up around a month ago. It was smooth sailing. I couldn't think of, other than riding my bike, a better way to get here. So
that's cool. Now, this is new, is it not?
It opened up in August in parallel with the university schedule. And it is an express bus. So from Hartford to Stores, that zone is a $5 ride each way. But
wow.
For, yeah, not so bad.
Wow, that's reasonable.
Yep, so it's a $10 round trip for me today back to Hartford. And it runs late. It runs, I think, almost 11, 12 o'clock for their late rides. And it starts very early. So it serves all sorts of needs, connecting Hartford and Yukon. And also connecting to, we had, I think, on the way in today from the Manchester Park and Ride, we had 8 or 9 people jump on there at the Buckland stop. So
nice.
It's a really busy connection. Just 1 month in. The one exciting thing that's happening in Hartford right now for a lot of reasons is the Yukon downtown campus, which we're at BCCO really excited about. We've sold some used bikes to UConn students looking for wheels. We've seen them locked up to the racks out in front of the new Stores campus downtown. And having that university campus downtown is putting a lot more feet and wheels on the street. And having that connect in a transit way to Stores is amazing.
That's incredible. So or how many stops are there on the way out?
It's an express bus, so it picks up at a couple stops in Hartford. It actually does go all the way out, I believe, to the Yukon Health Center. So that
in Farmington.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, it connects to the fast track station that then connects by a fast track line to the Yukon Farmington.
Okay.
So there's like one transfer that's very easy to connect that other Yukon facility. And it stops downtown in a couple spaces, and then it stops at 2 park and ride lots on the way here at Buckland in Manchester and at the Tallinn Park and Ride.
Okay.
And it has a couple stops here in Stores, and it's maybe takes you 10 minutes longer than a drive, but it's consistent because it's in the express lane on the highway, so you don't get any of that Hartford traffic.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and you know, 10 minutes longer, but you get to kick back and not have to worry about somebody stopping short in front of you and or someone crashing into you or having to deal with all the stress of driving, which can be really, it can be painful.
Yeah, that's one reason I don't drive very often is just because of that stress. That's why I ride my bike a lot of the time, because that is health benefit of just keeping my stress level reasonable is so important. So I can't talk more about that one than and without saying how awesome it is. On the one amazing thing that we're doing with the Center for Latino Progress, because we think of transportation in a holistic way as a system, is that it's not just about, you know, riding your bike to work. The whole system works better when you have more options. So those students that are coming out here to UConn stores, riding this 913 route on CT Transit, you know, they're going to be more likely to walk or ride their bike to get to classes than a student that may drive out here.
Wow.
And same thing in the other direction with students coming into Hartford. They're going to be walking, riding, and looking at other transportation modes more often. They may go car light. They may not even need to own a car because of this transit line. So the Center for Latino Progress has a program right now called Transport Hartford, and we have a workshop on September 27th. That's next Wednesday, downtown in Hartford. And it's going to start with dinner and networking. We're going to have four panelists that are experts in their field and in their personal lives around transit. And we'll have a panel discussion with them, and then we'll have a workshop afterwards where bus riders and future transit riders or people that are looking to make it a multimodal connection may have questions or comments if they're already riding the route to make it even better.
Wow, that's really cool. So you mentioned that there was a bike rack on the bus. Is that correct?
There was. I didn't know that. I wasn't sure. I did ride my fixed gear, my fixed gear Technium, down to the bus stop this morning and locked it up next to the Morgan Street garage in Hartford. And I didn't know if this bus was going to have a bike rack, but that was one of my fact-finding items of importance this morning, was to figure out if I could throw a bike on the front of this awesome commuter bus and zip out to Mansfield Store so that I can do Eastern Connecticut rides without the 26-mile adder on each end of them.
Well, that's kind of cool when you think about it, because, you know, we have so many great bike rides that go from here too. If you're looking for the roads less traveled, you know, this is it. We're in the middle of it, right?
I love riding Eastern Connecticut. It's just to get to the far eastern side of it is I get pretty tired by the time I'm here.
I can't imagine why. There's also there's one other thing about, you know, riding Eastern Connecticut, and that is that in order to get here from where you are in the River Valley, you have to do a little bit of climbing.
It's a little bit uphill and then some downhill and some uphill again. Yeah. And then you're here, and then the hills are really here too. So it's some of my favorite riding, and it's so easy. One thing I like to do is stealth camp.
What exactly is stealth camp?
So being so vacant out here, you find some state forest land or a large city park or just some undeveloped woodland, and you ride your bike out and you go camping and you go home.
And that is done out here. It's under the radar.
Under the radar camping.
It's not really a legal thing to do per se.
Yep.
Because we don't really have, you know, and this is kind of an odd thing, but we don't really have a lot of campgrounds in our state parks out here. Out in this area, we have private campgrounds out here, but the only campground I know that's in a state park that's in Eastern Connecticut is the Horse Camp, which is in the Natchog Forest.
Mm-hmm. Horse Camp.
I don't have a horse.
Can be kind of fragrant too.
It can be fragrant, absolutely. Yes, it can. But I don't have a horse. I have a bicycle. So why can't I ride my bicycle to the Horse Camp and camp in the Horse Camp? That just makes sense. I have a steel horse.
Yeah, yeah. You got your pedal horse. The horses sometimes don't like them, and they certainly do tear up the trail.
Yeah.
The trails, like, horses are one of the hardest things on trails, either rail trails or single track. It's sometimes nice when they have separate facilities so that they're not shredding what you would like to be a smooth rolling trail.
Well, anyone I talk to that uses, like, for in particular the rail trail, which is commonly used by horses because it's actually designated as a rail trail, so as a horse trail. The airline trail was originally slated as a horse compatible trail, and so a lot of people are used to riding on it because we have a lot of people who own horses out here. But I always ask them, can you just ride off to the side? Because there's plenty of room.
And I think a lot of the conscientious ones do. You know, like we have for every, you know, humans are humans. So our conscientious horse riders will ride off on the side and the horses don't care. And our, you know, conscientious cyclists will stop and ask and say, how would you like me to pass you? That's part of my training for rail trails.
You bring up a great point, and I had this conversation with a friend just a few weeks ago because they were ranting on me about people who were not being very kind to them when they were on their horses. And they said, you don't understand. We have these large animals. They're not used to bicycles. They don't know. And I said, well, look, I always announce myself. I always slow down. Mm-hmm. That's me, and that's how I deal with it. And that's what I teach people. But this is for any of you who are out there and you're riding on a shared trail, multi-use trail, and you are dealing with bicycles and horses together, even runners and horses together. It doesn't matter. It really, horses need to be treated a little differently because they are not as used to dealing with other vehicles and or people that are not them.
Yep, and so. You don't know how experienced that horse rider is. You don't know what its reaction is going to be. And you know, my approach to it, and what I train people to do as well, is announce yourself from far back.
Right.
Let that horse rider know that you're there, and once you've gotten their attention, before you're close to them or even in, you know, close proximity, say, how would you like me to pass you?
That's a great way to do it. That's really good. I usually also just say, you know, I'm 20 feet behind you. I'm coming up very slowly on your left side or on your right side, whichever it is. And I found that people who know what they're doing, they will probably just walk their horse off to the side of the trail and they'll actually turn and let the horse see you coming through. And those are the responsible horseback riders and the ones that have the experience, really, mm-hmm. is what it really comes down to, is the experience to deal with that sort of thing. So it's really, you know, courtesy on both ends. We're sharing these trails. They're gorgeous trails. It's so beautiful out here. You can ride your bike from Hartford out to Eastern Connecticut on the bike trails, too. And we're now getting very close to completion of the Charter Oak Trail up in the Bolton area. I don't know if you've seen what's going on up there, but that's really exciting.
Yeah, I recently had I am a warm showers host for in the Hartford region, and I recently had a French Canadian couple from Montreal stop in and stay with me for a night. If you're not familiar with Warm Showers, Warm Showers is a reciprocal hospitality website. It's kind of like couch surfing, and you get to review the feedback on people that you're hosting or that have requested a stay, and they get to review feedback on you as a host, and it's just a really neat system for people that are bike touring. If you're not a bike tourist and you just love good stories and being hospitable, you can be a Warm Showers host. And the more we have in Connecticut, and the more we have along our rail trails and our, you know, the East Coast Greenway and the riverfront trails, the better we are going to kind of build that bike touring culture in our state. And we've nearly got two cross state trails now with the New Haven to East Hampton and the, you know, east-west trail here that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really incredible what we have going on. And, you know, I get so excited. Every day I drive back, and if I'm driving into Hartford, I go in on 384 a lot. And it gets better every day. You can see they've pushed a lot of stuff aside. They had to get out and do some blasting to get under certain sections. But it's great. It's going to be such a nice little luxury to be able to ride all the way in.
Yeah, this French Canadian couple, I rode them out, because one thing we don't yet have is good signage.
Oh, tell me about it.
So there's a lot of hopscotching in the trail, and it's not obvious how to make those connections. So I rode them out from Hartford out past Willimantic, and they were profusely thankful. Because they realized we would have been lost every mile or two when the trail did something without a sign, and those gaps are still there. There's a gap in East Hartford through the Pratt & Whitney campus.
Right.
And there's a gap there at the notch. And you just, if you didn't have somebody guiding you, those gaps are super confusing.
Yeah.
So closing those is awesome. And then the next step is getting, you know, upgrading the signage and wayfinding for those that are trying to use that route.
Well, the gap in Bolton is soon to be closed. I guess there's some sort of a bridge that has to be brought in to get over 44, mm-hmm. I think is part of the problem there. Or maybe it's ready, but maybe it's not the right size. I heard some weird things about that bridge. But that'll get you to cross 44 safely, because 44 is a busy road. But, you know, I'm just so excited to see this all happening, because they've really been working on it diligently, and it's going to be a great connection. The Willimantic issue is an ongoing issue. Mm-hmm. It's a 6/10 of a mile section of trail, which is basically missing because you have to go on the road in order to do it. But there is no signage. There are no crosswalks. There are no indications whatsoever of where to go when you get to the end of, when you get to Bridge Street coming into Willimantic.
Yep.
And they just started putting some paint down and sharrows down in the parking lot and on Riverside Drive to get you to go behind all the businesses in Willimantic, which is another problem that I have been talking about for a while.
But. Yeah, we've talked about that one before, because these trails end up being such a great driver for the restaurants and businesses.
It's incredible what
in these town centers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been in other cities and that have done this and done it right, where they try to pull people in either with a wayfinding sign that says, here's the businesses, they're right here.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to guess, and bring them up to the coffee shop, bring them up to the brew pub, bring them over to the, you know, the bookstore. And those recreational folks and those bike commuters tend to spend their money locally.
Yeah, they do. And if you have any questions about that, you can talk with the owner of the Main Street Cafe and the Willie Brew Pub as to whether or not that happens. He loves people on bicycles, because he had a group that came out of Southbridge, Massachusetts. They got on at Pomfret Station and came down. There were 22 of them,
mm-hmm.
and they came down for lunch. And you know, I mean, 22 people for lunch, and they're all on bicycles. You figure it out.
Yeah, no, that brew pub is my turnaround for a lot of rides.
It's a lot of people's turnaround for a lot of rides. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention, that it's also a lifesaver. Yeah, I just did the Detour Day Connecticut.
Oh my God! Salem Mazaways ride.
Yeah.
So what's that?
Ride out to the start from Hartford, so it's just like a 13-mile ride out to where it picks up the Hop River Trail in Manchester. And my typical is, like, I don't ride all the way back out to Manchester at the tail of the ride, and I'll ditch in the mesh in the State Forest after I do some of the dirt roads and head back in through South Glastonbury to Hartford. But it's a fantastic ride, and that brew pub is exactly where I want a burger. And maybe a beer or two to get me home. So taking, you know, that ride is one of those, like, under the radar, low key but high fun group rides.
It's true. Salem's probably angry that I said his name, because he likes to stay very under the radar.
Well, this year they actually told people about it.
Really?
It didn't necessarily make it larger. But they bring in folks. If there are folks that come in from out of state for this ride, it's around 118 miles. There, it's half off road, and because Salem, it's on. There are some goat paths. There are some whoop-de-doo pump track quad sections.
Oh, good.
Where I was riding through the quad section, and it was so much like a pump track that I stopped pedaling. And I was just able to bounce it through and keep my speed up. And I was like, I've never done this on a woods trail before. This is amazing.
It's really fun.
You're able to launch off some of the quad jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an uphill creek climb.
Okay.
And most of the folks are out there on cross bikes. I took my touring bike out, which is extra fun because smooth tires. And
a little slippery in places.
Yeah, I pulled off a couple of the racks and carried just like a trunk rack with sandwiches.
Well, there you go.
It was a fantastic ride, and going through those town centers was great. A lot of it's on the Hop River, a lot of it's on the Airline Trail, and then there's just like weird stuff in the woods. You know, take a left at the Rotten Log, not that Rotten Log.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's a little sketchy as far
as
that
goes. Yeah, it's some orienteering. I don't recommend it riding it solo. I pair up with somebody just because you're so backcountry that you take a left turn when you should have taken a right, and somebody might not find you for a week.
Oh, I understand. I have rescued a few people on that ride where I've been out riding my bike, and they're standing on the corner and they're looking at their map and they're like have questioning looks, and I'll come up and say, "Are you guys lost?" "Well, yeah, kind of." And I'll go, "You're not on Salem's ride by any chance, are you?" And they go, "Well, yeah, we are." And I said, "Okay, well." This one group I met, they had made their way all the way back down to Route 198, and unfortunately they came down a 2.5 mile climb to get to that point where they missed the turn onto the old rail trail, which was the old rail trail back then before they'd actually improved it. So they completely went by it and missed it. And that's where they were supposed to be. And I said, "Well, you could climb back up that big hill you just came down." And they all kind of like rolled their eyes and said, that thing we just came." I said, "Yeah, the big one." It's steep and it's long and it's great to come down. But anyway, or if you follow me, I can show you how to hook back up onto it again. And so I gave them directions because they didn't want to follow me. They were adamant that they were going to figure this out themselves. And so they went on their way, and hopefully they found their way back out. But I did give them directions to the rail line, because that's what you need to do. You kind of come in on the Airline Trail on that thing.
Yep.
And you've spent a fair amount of time on the Airline Trail and the Hop River Trail, don't
you? You spend forever and a day on the Airline Trail. You do the whole thing. And then you've got an opportunity for a food stop. I usually get something in East Hampton. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of sad the coffee shop's not there anymore, but the pizza shop is a great spot to carb up.
The coffee shop moved down by the, it's down by, is it Haddam? Yeah, near the Goodspeed Opera House. It's
okay.
Right down there. I walked into the place one day, and I started talking about how, wow, this place is very similar to, you have music here on the weekends, and all, very similar to the place up in East Hampton. And she said, "Well, that was me." And I went, "Really?" And she said, "I moved down here."
Yep.
So, and she had a few reasons why, but she didn't really get into it. But that was such a great coffee shop.
Yep.
And you could go there on Sunday morning and do brunch and bluegrass. And
yep.
It was cool. It was just a cool place.
That was another good turnaround spot for, like, I have like a 70 or 80 mile loop that I'd come in, and that'll be my refuel before I head back up to Hartford. And it's a beautiful, beautiful spot to do it. But now I just get pizza.
Yeah.
Which is also tasty.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. But, you know, that's a whole point here is that, you know, when you get these bike paths like this and bike trails and you connect them with little food stops along the way, it's just a brilliant thing. It works great.
Yeah, in my bike touring, the Great Allegheny Passage and the C&O Canal, the little town centers that built up around those rail lines and the canal lines, they're having these tiny resurgences just around the trail users and the coffee shops and the recreational stuff and the cultural things and the bed and breakfasts and these towns that were almost, in some cases, almost non-existent when the rail station or when the rail was no longer there, are now kind of coming back. And they have the really good signage on the Great Allegheny Passage that says, you know, quarter mile to bed and breakfast and coffee shop and bookstore and and this museum. And the people stop. They want to stop. You know, those little towns are every, you know, 10, 15 miles, and they're looking for a reason to stop and spend some time and money.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's a nice way to do it. The folks up in Bolton did a ride back in the spring, and it was a history ride on the Hop River Trail. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but they had like like 80 people show up to this thing, which mm-hmm. was incredible in itself. We actually had to start in different groups so that their historians who are along the trail mm-hmm. could, you know, work with a smaller group each time. And so we, you know, we started up there in Bolton, and then we worked our way down. We had one of the organizers on the air with us back in the spring, and I learned a lot of really interesting things. There's a cave up at Bolton Notch, which was Squaw Cave. Yeah, look it up. It's interesting. And there's some old history with that. And there was an Indian woman who was there who apparently had a thing going on with an Englishman. Anyway, there's a whole story that goes along with it, which is very cool. We went down the trail a little bit further, and we stopped, and there was a person there who was saying that if you go up this trail, there's a walking trail that went up off of the trail. And I think it's a piece of Joshua's Trust land, which is back there. But there's a huge field that's connected to that. And that field was where George Washington's infantry was. They were all coming into that spot. It was a central location that they were all gathering at during the Revolutionary War. So there's incredible history along the way. And what they did was they ended up bring it down to Andover, and it went to the old town hall, which is now the Andover Museum, and there was some great artifacts there, and just a really, you know, it just makes an interesting day. It just makes a really cool, interesting day.
I've led, you know, in small bicycle history tours in Hartford, and there's so much density, even, you know, just in Hartford, around manufacturing, our early American history, the bicycle industry, that
sure.
within a 7 mile, you know, puttering bike ride, you can take 2 hours and not really need to do much more than a couple days worth of research to support it and just run a little history tour of your own. It's and everybody's interested in it. I wanted to come around to some of the things that we are doing in our cities and town centers to, you know, put more people on bikes.
Please, please do.
So one of the things I wanted to kind of start with was take us back to Hartford. The Hartford Business Improvement District, which runs the Hartford.com website and does a lot. You see the bright yellow shirted ambassadors downtown all the time, mm-hmm. You know, keeping things tidy, keeping an eye on stuff. They've now got an emergency bicycle roadside assistance that you can call. It's not 24/7. It is 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, and on Sundays 6 to 8. So pretty much any time you're going to be in downtown Hartford on a bicycle,
yeah,
for any, you know, any reason, they've had people like pull a bike off the rack of their car, right? Because people will come down to ride the riverfront trails, and they're
sure.
like, oh, dang, I've got a flat tire.
Right.
This emergency bicycle roadside assistance, which is free, you dial, and they will come out. Usually they're there within 10 minutes, and they can, you know, pump up a tire if it's just low. They can do a tire change. They can put your chain back on. They can tighten up a loose bolt if you're, you know, your stem's loose. They'll tighten up a bolt for you. If it's serious, they'll send folks over to Bicycle or recommend a local bike shop. But they, you know, they found 95% of the calls are just, you know, flat tires.
Who are these people?
It's amazing. So there's a business improvement district that gets some funding from the Hartford downtown businesses and property owners. And their job is to just do awesome stuff in the district that makes it a great place to live and work. And they said, you know, we should do this roadside assistance. We've been doing, you know, jumping car batteries, putting on spare tires for cars for years. And that people like it.
So it's like AAA.
It's like AAA, but no membership needed. And it's AAA doesn't repair your tire. They'll just give you a ride home.
That's right.
And most of the time you just want to get back on your bike. So they I think they put $500 in to get this started, get their guys trained at Bicycle, and they've got this service. They've now got international press on this. It's the first business improvement district to do a service like this, and I think they were just interviewed by Bicycling Magazine yesterday. So everybody, you know, the neat thing is that other downtowns, other cities are going to go, hey, this is cool. This is easy. we can copy this.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
It's really, really great idea.
So they've had 42 calls in the last month. It's almost as many car calls as they've gotten. And they found about 60% of the calls actually come from their utility cyclists, folks that, you know, aren't the, you know, the downtown corporate employees, the folks that are just working downtown in other jobs.
Wow. Wow. What a brilliant idea. I love it. That's great. So now BCCO is connected to this in any way or not?
BCCO is connected. That's the exciting part is we, you know, Hartford being a small city, we all talk to each other and we want to build a movement and we want to build a culture of sustainable transportation that works really well for our city, for folks that either live there or folks that are coming in from outside of Hartford, either on the bus or coming in on bike. We want this to work as a holistic system. So BCCO was involved by training the Hartford ambassadors. We trained, I think, four or five of the Hartford ambassadors in basic bicycle mechanics. And we also train their bicycle mounted ambassadors that do the bicycle, bicycle watch, and keep an eye on things downtown. We train them in the full day traffic skills 101 course. So that it's an important thing for the business improvement district that their employees are trained in safe operation of their vehicles. And we think it's important because they're demonstrating out there on the streets, you know, how to safely ride. So
that's great.
Including sidewalk riding, which is still legal in Hartford.
Yeah, it's legal here in Mansfield too.
Oftentimes, you know, most people are considerate and they are yielding to pedestrians. But occasionally you'll get that hot rod cyclist that thinks they can go 25 miles an hour on the sidewalk and they make everybody else look bad.
Right. Right. So. Well, we run into that on road riders too, you know, that are just
It only takes a couple to make us all look awful.
And it makes us all look bad. So why would you do that? Why would you go there?
So I wanted to come back here because one thing I'm excited about with this UConn stores to Hartford Transit Connection, the 913 route where we have the event for on the 27th, which is free. You should check it out if you're able to find us. We're Transport Hartford on Facebook, and it's the CT Transit Goes East is the event name. We're doing dinner, so you just have to RSVP so we can get you on the list and I can order the right amount of sandwiches.
Cool.
But here in Mansfield, the Transportation Center, which I got an awesome tour of this morning.
Isn't it amazing?
It's hard
to believe it's there.
It's perfect for this transit connection between Hartford and Mansfield stores.
Right.
It's exactly what needs to be at the end of a major transit stop. The transportation center has a commuter facility with showers.
Yes, it does.
Lockers. Bike lockers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can become a member for a year, and there's different rates for residents and visitors, and you may choose to get the bike locker or not get the bike locker. If you're just somebody that likes to go running at lunch, or you want to go do a hard bike ride at lunch, but you have somewhere else to store your bike and you just need a shower, you can do the membership fee for that. And it's entirely reasonable.
Yep.
You should go check it out. It's at the Mansfield CT.gov /transportation center. Look up the commuting facilities. Like, that's awesome. If I were a student here, I would have that locker immediately.
I know. It just really makes a lot of sense. And if you were, I mean, even if you're someone who lives off campus and you're commuting in, it's just a great place to lock your bike up securely for the day.
Yeah, if I were a teacher at E.O. Smith.
Well, we know people who are and who are utilizing it because of that.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing. It's something that was put into the plan when they were doing downtown. When they did the transportation center, they wanted to make sure there was something that was there for bicycles. And Lon, who you met earlier today, he's very influential in that. And he's also extremely active with Bike Mansfield. And we're trying to get our status upgraded as a bike-friendly town. And that right there really puts a big feather in our cap.
So I'm going to try and help you guys with another bike-friendly event in November. So we've been doing these in Hartford and nearer to Hartford. And now that we've got this regional transit connection, stores is like it's a blink away for me.
Oh, sure.
So I can think about stores in the sphere of what are we doing in Hartford Metro. So we've been doing a monthly first Friday of the month bike, walk, and bus to work and school meetup. We've added that school component because now we've got UConn downtown, and there's a lot of students coming in that we want to kind of get into this circle that thinks about those connected transportation systems and just show up and have coffee, show up and have a bagel, come get a breakfast sandwich. And we've been doing it at different breakfast establishments in Hartford just to get people familiar with the different places they can get a coffee or a croissant and have time to chat with other commuters and meet the folks that they might sit next to on the bus or might ride past while walking. And those folks all kind of have similar experiences. And once we break down those Connecticut antisocial walls and find that shared interest, we will talk a lot. So we've been doing that in Hartford. I want to bring that event out here. I think we're going to start it November 3rd is the first Friday in November, if I'm remembering correctly. And we might put it on more of a college schedule. We do it at 7 to 9 in Hartford.
Way too early.
I think it's a little
here.
Too early for you guys.
God,
I'm
yes.
thinking more of an 8 to 10 slot for folks that wander in over there.
Now you're starting to get warm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We try and keep it tight enough that people run into each other, but it's not an organized thing in that we don't, you know, you come get your own coffee. You show up when you show up. If you show up at 9:30, that's cool. There's probably going to be some people there, and you'll know that they walked there. You'll know they rode their bike. We self-identify pretty easily. So that event we're going to try and do here, and I'm thinking Dog Lane Cafe is a good starting point for it that first Friday of November.
Or the transportation center also is another possibility that you could use that because we're open to that too.
Yeah, I think we'd love to. We like to do the organic ones at local businesses, but then you do the bigger ones where you're bringing in bagels and coffee,
right?
As like your May event or your April event, where it's like where it's big and social, and you might have a couple extra like organizations there tenting and tabling. So we like doing it every month. Because then it's just an easy, easy continuous thing, and it's this concept that transportation, active transportation stops in September, November, when it gets cold is a fallacy. You know, in Hartford, people walk all year round; they ride their bikes all year round. Yes. When I go out and ride to work in Hartford, I always see tracks in the snow, and they're not mine. So continuing these transit and active transportation events through the whole year helps identify that this is not a seasonal thing. People are using these transportation modes year-round, and it's not weird. So we love those events.
All right. So
we're reaching out to other towns in the Hartford metro region, which now kind of encompasses UConn and stores.
Well, that's really cool. Hey, I just got a call from Mike from Eastford. He's an avid listener of the show, and he unfortunately I don't have the technical expertise to get him hooked in here, but he wanted to comment on the fact that he's been using this, and he said Mike is a retired school teacher from East Hartford is where he was teaching, so he used to ride his bike back and forth. He'd drive partway and then ride his bike the other way, and he picked up on a show I did on commuting many, many months, well, a year and a half ago when I was first starting to do this, and so he's become a great contributor and avid listener to the show, but he wanted to tell me that he's going into Hartford and exploring Hartford with his bike and then coming back and using the bus to do it.
I'm so excited that express commuter bus has the two bike rack thing on the front. If you're nervous about using the bike rack on the front of the bus, there is a pretty good tutorial, a video tutorial on YouTube for the CT Transit. I think it's Bikes on Board. Mm-hmm. And go look up that tutorial, go to the website, and they show you exactly how to use it. I'm not going to go through all the steps here on the radio because it's better visually.
Yes.
I have done it. It's scary the first time. The bus drivers are friendly. Don't freak out. And it's so cool to be able to toss your bike on the front and take it where you're going. If you are coming to Hartford on your bike with the bus or on your own, bring a good lock.
Yeah,
it's like
I'm
a college
sure.
campus, you know.
Sure.
Don't bring that that floss cable lock because you know
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, we had someone lose the bike at the cyclocross race a few weeks ago.
Oh,
just you know.
So it all it takes is a solid U-lock. You know, throw that U-lock in your backpack. You know, there's different ways to lock up. Go look that up online while you're figuring out bikes on board. We in Hartford, we think that cable locks are great, but you'd better have a U-lock too. Because we usually combine a cable and a U, to just make sure both wheels are connected and the bike is connected to something secure.
Yeah, and the key point here is connected to something secure. That's otherwise it'll get picked up and dealt with later.
One of my ways of dealing with that in Hartford is I just ride my 60-pound Schwinn Traveler, and it does.
For
unless
some reason, that's a deterrent.
Unless somebody's taking it for scrap, it's not getting picked up.
That's funny.
I just lock it to itself half the time.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But I do use a U-lock because it is still a desirable mode of transportation.
Yes, it is.
So the I wanted to take a couple minutes to just shout out Bicycle and some of the cool stuff that's going on right now.
I would like you to talk about that. Sure.
Yeah.
Go.
So Bicycle's in growing at this point. So we have moved from just being our community programs and do-it-yourself repair hours to actually having a functioning storefront on Park Street, which is near Main Street, just a mile south of downtown Hartford. And we are selling some upcycled used bikes. We do service on bikes as well. If you're not into the do-it-yourself hours, not everybody wants to get their hands greasy, but it does occur. So we still have our do-it-yourself hours. We still have our membership framework for those folks interested in repairing their own bicycles. But we are bringing the storefront online. We're open Monday through Friday, 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. A little bit later on Monday nights until 8:30 because we've got women's do-it-yourself hours. And on Wednesday, we go late until 8:30 with 5:30 to 8:30 do-it-yourself hours. And then we have do-it-yourself hours also on Saturdays from 1:30 to 5:30. And if you just need to come in and buy parts or drop your bike off to get it repaired, that can also happen during do-it-yourself hours. So the storefront's there. We are selling used parts and new parts as well as the upcycled bicycles. We're considering if and what we might be carrying for a new bike. We're kind of focusing on that commuter-specific type of bicycle because of the folks that are most likely riding and buying bikes in Hartford to kind of complement our upcycled bikes. But we're mostly going to be carrying those upcycled bicycles, which the stock just keeps changing, and we can't repair them fast enough. So
if people have bikes that, let's say they've been sitting in a garage or a barn for a long period of time, and they are interested in finding a recycled use for it, in other words, they're no longer interested in it, but you might have someone who would be very interested in it. Should they contact you in some way? How does that work?
That's a great question. It works. The first disclaimer is we want to repair and need to repair and upcycle bicycles that are high enough quality that they will work. So the first disclaimer is it should be a bicycle that came from a bike shop. Basic transportation, some of those bicycles that get picked up from a Walmart or a Target, they may work for a year, but they're not something that once you're done with is necessarily repairable.
They're disposable bikes, unfortunately.
Actually the older department store bikes are more robust. Like if you have a 20-year-old department store bike, that's probably worth fixing. But anything within the last 5 to 10 years, it's a department store or a Walmart bike, is very difficult to repair and make safe. and the amount of time that gets put into it is, it, and for the amount that we're able to sell it, will not pay the rent for our community workshop.
Right.
So the bicycle-shaped objects is what we often call them.
I've heard that referred to that way before. Yes.
Yeah. So and they may work, and that may work be what somebody needs for a certain period of time, but we can't make it work. So those bike shop quality bikes that are in good to fair condition, they don't have to be ride ready. They can have flat tires. They can have rusty chains.
Sure.
We're able to take those in as donations at BCCO. We are a 501c3. We can give you a receipt for it if that's helpful. And we will upcycle it either for our youth programs or our to actually go back out into the community as a for sale upcycled bicycle. That we love doing that. All you have to do is look us up on bicico.org, bicico.org, and check us out there. You can give us a call, send us an email, and we will let you know how to drop it off. You can drop it off during our shop hours that I just gave. We can sometimes take them in during the day or on other times that we have events. So
you can drive it in on the commuter bus.
You could put it on the Yukon CT Transit Express bus
there
on that
go.
Front rack with flat tires. Drop it off here in downtown Hartford at 97 Park Street.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing how many bicycles are sit in suburban garages and barns. We're pretty sure that they procreate I would say bunnies when people aren't looking.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep coming.
Well, they do create a large population of spiders.
They do often come in with their own ecosystems.
Yes, they do.
So we brush those off usually. So we love taking those in and getting them back out of the community. Our goal is to increase bike mode share at all levels. The equity of bike transportation and the jobs access and the programs access and just the quality of life and health benefits in a city like Hartford that people get from riding a bike is so much of a positive that the Center for Latino Progress had to bring the BCCO programs in. Right now, our newest, not our newest program, but our newest recruiting is our Earn a Bike program that is starting in a couple of weeks. We are working with age 13 to 19 is our target age range for Earn a Bike. And we had this beautiful experience with the last Earn a Bike that we had three of our Earn a Bike student mothers that came to all the classes and they hung out during the classroom time. And we do a lot of non-mechanic stuff. We do bike history, do bike science, we do bike safety. And they also were involved in the workshop time downstairs when we were wrenching. And we had these parents that were, hanging out with their kids and just kind of creating a slightly different atmosphere than we've had in previous classes. And we're really excited about continuing that, parent engagement and involvement in our Earn a Bike program this fall. So the other way, just get in touch with us if you're interested in that Earn a Bike program. You don't have to be a Hartford resident to participate. It's a great way to learn basic bike mechanics. It's a great way to learn about Hartford's bicycle history. We even bring in the I-84 project team usually to do a presentation on what that means to transportation in Hartford, to bring in that holistic message of how do people get around and how do we fit into that?
Wow.
And maybe you might want to be an engineer. We'll tell you about what this career is.
Sure. Wow. This has been great. As always, we talk about bikes and next thing you know, it's the end of the show. We're going to have you on more often. Now that we have this great transportation mode to get you back and forth here, that would be really cool. My guest today has been Tony Tirolis, the Transport Hartford Coordinator, Center for Latino Progress, and also directly connected with BCCO in Hartford at 95 Park Street in Hartford. Tony, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you for all the information that you've shared with us today, and I'm sure there's a lot more, and we will also plug your events on our Facebook pages and everywhere else that I am connected to. So CT Transit goes east. This is a cool thing. We have a bus now that goes from Hartford to the UConn campus to the Transportation Center. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. I'm going to move forward to just a few announcements here of some upcoming events. The CCAP Rocky Hill Cyclocross Series is every Wednesday night right now. If you want to learn how to race cross, if you want to go play there a little bit, it's kind of a fun thing that's going on. It's done through the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, and it's Wednesday, September 6th, already up through the 27th of the month, so we still got another one to go. So anyway, check that out. You can register online at bikereg.com. And also, the KMC CrossFest is coming up on September 28th through October 1st. If you want to see a first-class, top-level cyclocross race done in where a few thousand people will show up to it, you need to go check that out. It's going to be at the Thompson Speedway. These can also all be accessed on Bike Reg. Coming up after that, Saturday, October 7th, we have the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross Race. That of which the Friends of Mansfield Hollow is putting that on, and I am the race director for that. So I'd love to see you out there. If you want to meet Pedal and Ron, I'll be there. Anyway, after that, the weekend after that, we have the Gloucester Grand Prix of Cross, October 14th and 15th. There's just cyclocross mania right now. It's crazy what's going on. There's so much going on. There's lots of races going on. There's a bunch of races that are done by the CCAP Fall Series. And we have, on October 21st, we have Brody Cross in New Hartford. October 22nd, Belltown Cross in East Hampton. November 4th, Cheshire Cross in Cheshire. November 5th, Newtown Team 26 Cross in Newtown. And November 24th, March Farms Cross in Bethlehem. And the final of the Connecticut series is Elm City Cross in New Haven. So lots of exciting things going on in cyclocross if you're a cyclocross person. If you want to make a quick trip down, I'm going to throw this in really, really quickly. I'm running out of time. The Central Bucks Bike Club's Covered Bridges Ride on 10/15/17. That is from a friend of ours who listens to us down in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, who wanted to pass that on. Beautiful fall foliage, lots of Bucks County, Pennsylvania finest covered bridges, rides to suit every ability. And anyway, so that's another cool thing that's happening. There's so much happening this time of year. It's such a beautiful time of year. My name is Pedal and Ron. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host Fran Storch, but with Tony Tirolli. So it's been great. This has been a great show. A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle color, a culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like to reach me, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you would like to contribute or to be a part of the show or as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.